Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on the Danny Brown Show.
But how do, hold up. How do you have diarrhea and constipation? That sounds like death.
I've been there.
All right. Do they have one of those cool commercials where they got a nice catchy boppy pop song, and then at the end of the commercial they were like, also it leads to cancer, shitting out your ass,
parasitic infection in your fucking, wait, who takes
you'll
it?
Cry blood. All
who's
right.
Coming to your shows, bro?
I guess like some cool motherfuckers that shop at the thrift store and shit, you know what I'm saying? Fuck, got yeah. A nice tattooed up white girl with some piercings and shit, you know, the alternative black dude.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, Joe? It's the Danny Brown Show coming to y'all live from Austin, Texas at Wild Mate Studios. I got the booth boys with me. What up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Yo, yo.
How y'all boys feeling?
Doing great. Good.
Yeah, man, I'm good, man. We got fucking Jamie Morgan from Code Orange in the building, man. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great. I love this show, man. So.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you for coming through, man. I actually got a chance to check the album out. Thank you for that, man. It's fucking great, man. I swear. It's really, I don't want to think too hard on it, but... For real, because I really listened to it this morning and shit, and it's like it kept me engaged because the transitions and shit. So that's one thing about me. I really love fucking experiment. Like, do you consider it to be like experimental?
It's
some
experimental
shit?
For sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's why I love like your music is yeah, like I like the way things interweave.
And yeah.
Keep you entertained, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, as much as I love minimal shit, I do love shit to be crazy. My favorite song on there so far is A Drone?
That
shit is... Like, I love hearing songs where I'm like, how the fuck did they make this shit,
man?
Like, so I was playing that, played that back like 3 or 4 times, like, what the fuck? But even, like, I don't know if you want to spoil or anything, but also, okay. The album comes out the end of September.
Or something, yeah.
The Above. But it felt almost like I was listening to, like, a movie. Like,
dude, thank you. That's big, like, in the mind. That's, like, a big... That's a big part of the goal the whole time. It's like, all right, we've got all these different types of music and like subgenre shit we're trying to throw at the wall. So I feel like the only way to make it like feel connected and feel not just like a, you know, jukebox of horse shit,
yeah,
is to give it that those cinematic, you know, transitions. And
so it is a concept album, because I do feel like it was like an underlying theme in some sense. I mean, you know,
100%.
When you listen to an album like the first Sit With, it's some one of those albums you probably got to sit with for a minute to really fully understand what the fuck is going on.
I hope so, bro.
Yeah, I really, that's how I felt. I'm like, fuck. So I couldn't really just grasp everything on my first couple listens, man, but I really felt like it was almost like sitting down listening to a movie, and I really felt like, you know, I love fucking, you know, concept albums, but one hard thing that I fucking have to balance with like making concept albums, making shit that you can play live too.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like, fuck, how do they fucking do this shit? Cause this shit is good. It's a rock album to the core. That shit is going to fucking rock out. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
Rock, yeah.
So shit, man. So you got the album coming out, man. Y'all got the fucking single with fucking Billy Corgan.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
You fuck
man.
With Billy Corgan?
Yeah, you know I'm Smashing Pumpkins, man.
You like a lot of different rock shit.
Yeah, man. I'm raised on that shit in some sense, man. Like I would say it really started for me discovering myself was obviously like new metal shit.
Yeah.
You know, with fucking Korn. Because they was genre bending too. You know, they was putting the hip hop in their shit. So I'm from the rap shit. You know what I'm saying?
We just toured with them like a couple, like 6 months or a year ago. It's pretty cool. It's like they're older. They're chilling for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
They're chilling in the room, but
yeah,
they're good dudes.
It was on my bucket list. I got a chance to do a remix with them. And I was like, oh,
I saw
fuck.
That.
I was like, fuck. So yeah, man, when, you know... I know for me, I got an album coming out soon, and I'm already starting to get the jitters. Is it like a nervous feeling? Like
I'm nervous because I don't know if you can relate to this or not, but you probably can. But, you know, when you do, like, you know, we're on the fringe of popularity. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we're not popular to a point where, let's say we put out a disc that everyone hates, like, we ain't gonna exist, probably. I mean, we can't, you know what I mean? So that's the only jitters. I mean, artistically, we were able to work on it for like 3 years. Like, we worked on it for a long time. So I love it. I know I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But the jitters are just like, well, live or die.
No, it definitely shows, man. Like, just really, like, I was really just stuck. Like, all the transitions and just, it's just really genre bending, man. And I really fucking gravitate towards music like that, man. So
I appreciate, dude, that, like, we want to make a rock record for sure. But we're inspired by a lot of different kinds of stuff, you know. Like, I always even go to JPEG all the time, like his production style, mm-hmm. the production on your records. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're messing with the way we're combining layers, we're usually listening to hip hop or electronic music, or because just trying to figure out, like, how can you get some of those lows and highs into rock music in like a cool, not like a corny ass fucking like rap metal way. You know what I mean? Like, but learning from the production, because the innovation in production has been all like hip hop and shit. It hasn't really been rock at all. So it's like, take the old school shit from rock and learn some of the new school stuff from like the experimental hip hop stuff we like in electronic music and industrial music, and try to fry them up together.
And another thing I was super impressed with, just the fact that it's so much going on sonically. It was fucking mixed amazingly, man. Like,
thank you, man.
Like, what was the process of making an album? Like, how did...
Dude, it was fucking long. Like, literally, my bandmates truly do despise me just because we keep going and digging and digging and digging until we get to the end result, you know? So we'll make something, we'll make demos. Now we've gotten pretty decent at like Pro Tools. We fucking get, you know, there'll be 100 tracks on it. Deconstruct that, almost mix the demo into like a real song. Then this time we went to Steve Albini, who's like fucking awesome producer, did like fucking Nirvana and Pixies and all kinds of punk shit. And we just went in, kind of re-recorded the band being like real prepared, and then kind of pushed it back into the demo and took the different layers and redid some stuff. Okay, we had like sampled strings, now let's get record real strings. But we produced the whole album ourselves this time, so easy to just kind of like do it our way and just take a really long time to put it together.
It's definitely layered, man. Like, just, and it's almost like one of those like can't expect it type shits, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way the sounds just come from out of nowhere and shit, like, what the fuck, man?
I think like of some horror shit sometimes. It's like this one maybe a little less, but I'll pick like a genre of like movie or something when we're going into a disc, like, okay, I want this to have that like psychological horror feel, or have like, this song should have like those kind of moments. Like, maybe not, we don't do like jump scares, but like, mm-hmm.
I would say that, where you're like, what the fuck? How did that come about? Like, because even from like the way it starts to how it ends is fucking crazy, man. It felt like I said, it felt like me listening to an audio movie in some
sense. Dude, hearing that from you, that's good to me. Because no, seriously, like, you do some crazy shit on your records. The one that the you and JPEG record has literally the most psychotic production I've like ever heard in my life.
Peggy's a fucking monster, man.
Dude, like, he's insane. It's like, I listen to it and I'm like, there's actually nobody doing that.
No, it's not.
At all. No. Like, it's like, people will do interviews and I'm like, oh, well, what hip-hop stuff are you into that's new? And I'll just, like, always mention him because I'm like, dude, it's like, I can't even explain it. Like, the way, it's like 3D shit, dude.
Yeah.
It's here, you know?
For me, it's like, I'm honored to work with him. And it's just, I just always want people to like push the genre forward and take it to places that it hasn't been taken before. So, you know, it's like, it's easy to just do traditional shit or get inspired by something you heard before and just try to, you know, recreate that kind of shit.
Do you ever want to do that shit, like something more traditional? Because pretty much none of your records, like over the last couple, are traditional. I mean, there's songs that
I would say, you know, working with Q-Tip, you know, it was more like dialing it back.
Yeah.
In some sense. Because it was just like, you know, I was working with just like a, you know, like, to me, I was like Queens rap was like, you know, Nas and Mobb Deep. So I was almost like cosplay for me, you know what I'm saying? Or Tribe, you know. But it still was some, I mean, because even though for me, I'd be like, oh, that's normal. And then my manager and I'll be like, no, this shit ain't normal.
This happens to me. This happens to me constantly. That's the same thing. Like, they'll be like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, we're going to put this out and everyone's going to be like, they're not going for it. They're not pushing it. And mm-hmm. they're like, dude, listen to the rest of the shit that's going on. But whatever. That's what makes it hard, man. Who gives a fuck? Man?
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I always go for. Someone's just pushing a genre forward and just, you know, because with hip hop, it could just be so easy to just get caught up in what's hot at the moment, because it's so, I mean, I guess any musical genre at that point, you just feel like something that's trendy is going to work, and it's hard to take risk.
What's the trendiest shit now?
I guess probably like the, I don't know, like the loops, like motherfuckers buying like producer kit loops and shit, yeah. and just putting them shits together and like auto-tune shit and just like really just like keeping it simple as possible, which is dope in some sense to me, because I look at it like it's really hard to like just keep it at the most minimalist form and people to still like that shit.
The Playboi Carti record's minimal, but it's fucking, oh, it's amazing. I mean, that one, I feel like that is the record that clicked that styling for me a little bit. But what I felt like was part of it was because of what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
So once you see the whole thing and you hear it,
yeah,
it's like, then it clicks in, and all of a sudden, it's like when you're listening, like you're saying about listening to a movie, it's like you're seeing the whole picture, and then it's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it would be like to listen to it without seeing the gimmick, like just the whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I think the album's going to be a classic, to be honest.
It's awesome.
I mean, it. I feel like it peaked the genre at that point, where it probably clicked for a lot of older people that's been listening to hip-hop for a long time. Like, no, that Cardi shit is fucking crazy.
Did you like his shit before that?
I would say this is my favorite shit he's done. Mm. I can definitely say that. But all right, we'll jump into some of these Ask Dannys, man.
Ask Danny.
You can always hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. First up, we got Fame. Hey, Danny, would you rather be as famous as Drake or be like Armand Hammer, where you have a similar but dedicated fan base? You and Peggy killed it at all your shows. Best 3 days of my life. Keep up the good shit. Stay healthy, Josh. I think you obviously know the fucking answer to that shit. I mean, fuck.
Are you Drake or Armand Hammer?
Are you familiar with Armand Hammer?
Yeah. Oh,
fucking, they just put out some new shit with produced by Peggy, man. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I'm always, and even just like Billy Woods' whole thing where like motherfuckers don't really know how he look and shit. He's able to fucking go around. Nobody have to fucking bother him. And he's still putting out some dope genre pushing for type music, you know what I'm saying? So of course I would want to be more like Armand Hammer. If I wanted to be like fucking Drake, I'd be fucking doing auto-tune songs.
I would want to be Drake for sure, man. What
fuck,
the fuck
I
are
just,
you talking about?
I don't know. I would, that my anxiety would just fucking go through the roof of being able to not go any fucking where. I like being just Daniel sometimes.
That's true, but I mean, he's got ways to go wherever
the
fuck he wants to go.
I mean,
the
private jets and all the bitches.
Oh, all of them. Every single damn one there
is. It definitely is a good time. But yeah, just having that whole pressure on you of just got to make a hit every fucking album, you know?
Does he even need to at this point, though? I mean, at a certain point for sure. Now it's just like,
I mean, yeah, I feel like he do. Because I feel like if he makes some shit, everybody like, oh, Drake fell off. Where, you know, certain artists, we like Armand Hammer, they don't have that pressure on them. They can
I mean,
be,
this shit's awesome.
They can be as fucking creative as they want. It can, and then people will give them the benefit of the doubt kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Where they can be like, I don't get it now, but I respect them so much that I'm going to sit with it and give it a chance. Where a person listens to a Drake song one time and they be like, oh, he fell off. You know?
But do you, I have a question for you. Do you think like, okay, when people say that shit, does any of that really matter? Like, does it matter?
Not when you as rich as Drake. Fuck
yeah,
no.
Like,
it don't fucking matter. But
like, I don't think anyone could ever, short of him, like maybe like them finding bodies of women at his house, like dead. What else could happen that would, you know, I don't know. Don't fucking matter. For
yeah.
Him.
I mean, no, it don't matter. Especially at these, the run he's had, but I still feel like you can still hear it in him where he has this hunger where he still wants to fucking succeed and not feel like, you
100%.
Know, so I would rather be Armand Hammer and just not have that pressure of fucking making hit records and all these people fucking looking up, and just the type of fan bases, man. You know the type of motherfuckers that listen to Drake?
7-year-olds. And
it'd be the white boys that wear Yeezys in the airport and shit. I don't want them niggas coming to my shows. Fuck that, man. All
Who's
right.
coming to your shows, bro?
I guess like some cool motherfuckers that shop at the thrift store and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck
Got
yeah.
a nice tattooed up white girl with some piercings and shit, you know? The alternative black dudes and shit. Or like, the, you know, dudes that's into fashion and shit, and you know, not really thinking. It's older, cool guys, I would say.
I like that.
But I will say, with the Peggy tour, man, it was a lot of kids, man. I wasn't used to that.
There's gonna be some dirty people at his shows. Some people, I've seen him before, and there was a smell going on.
That's like a
some crust punk type shit.
That was like a common theme that I kept hearing, like, or seeing online. Like, I would see a lot of people tweet, but I would say, man, it's just. I mean, the music that he makes is fucking, it's energetic, and it makes motherfuckers jump around and sweat. So, I mean,
you know, dude, our shows are full of dirty people. I mean, our shows is only dirty people. So,
I don't think it was bad as a Smash Brothers tournament, though.
Dude,
you know,
I mean, there's some motherfuckers at the Smash Brothers tournament who are going to all three of our shows, 100%.
Oh yeah, definitely. Shouts out to all my homies. You know, they Maine and Samus and shit. You know. All right, next up we got All White Party. What's up, Danny? For context, I met this white girl in college, and we have been friends ever since. Recently, she invited me to come to her graduation party. She let me know beforehand that I was going to be the only black person there. I popped out, and I was uncomfortable for the next 2 hours. Family members asking to see / touch my hair, creepy-ass uncles that no one is addressing. The food was ass and no music. After the party, she asked me how I felt about it. I told her it was fun, but in reality, I was lying my ass off. Do you think I should tell her the truth or stick to the lie? You definitely have to stick to the lie when it comes to white people parties, because, you know, that might just been a downtime. White people had some cool-ass parties, you know what I'm saying? Some of the best parties that I've ever been to were thrown by white people. You ever been to some real nigga parties? Motherfuckers get shot, beat up after that shit. You might, you know, they run out of chicken. All type of shit, ain't no liquor. So yeah, man, white people, you get invited to one of those baller ass, cool ass wine parties and shit. They got the cheese that tastes like a full meal. So yeah, man, I would say just keep that to yourself, because next thing you know, you might get invited to some baller shit. You know, it's levels to this shit. She had to test you out first, and then she could see how you can deal around the, you know, the lower standards. Then she might invite you to the top level shit. That's all that is, you know.
Some Eyes Wide Shut shit.
Yeah, I'm down with that. When you come in, you just get freaky and shit. That's my kind of party right there.
That's the top level.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You can get to that level where they got the good meats and the nice breads and shit. You're like, oh shit, look at the charcuterie.
The good meats.
Look at the charcuterie in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, I would just say keep that to yourself. And for the most part, man, everybody got different cultures and shit. You don't want to shit on somebody's culture just because they ain't got no ribs, you know, and they ain't got the fucking Drake blasting, you know what I'm saying? So just be cool, man, you know. How some of your parties is going?
I'm not invited to shit. I've never been invited to shit in my life, dude. Why do you think we make this fucking dumb music that you're listening to earlier?
I guess you're right.
It's very school shooter, you know what I mean?
Oh, shit. I wouldn't go that far, but...
I mean, you know, I mean, it's...
There's some angst there, though.
There's some angst, you know? We weren't, let's just say we weren't in high school, like, at the party all the time, you know what I mean?
To be honest, I wasn't really either. I guess eventually, you know, I dressed cool enough to where I start. But I would say high school, the start of high school is always kind of weird until you find your footing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like maybe like my freshman year, I was a little, I was like a nerdy, weird type motherfucker. Because I was like listening to Wu-Tang and shit. Motherfuckers didn't listen to Wu-Tang and shit.
Right.
They was like listening to like fucking like West Coast music, like Tupac and Death Row and all that kind of shit. So I was like the weird dude wearing army jackets in the summertime and shit.
Some taxi driver type shit you're wearing.
Yeah,
like
so they was like, but then once I figured out the swag and, you know, I got my shit together by the time I, you know, was a sophomore and shit. And I was cooler then. But yeah, in the beginning stages, they was like, oh, this fake New York wannabe motherfucker wearing fucking Timberlands and shit. Like,
I met my whole band when we were like 12, so
that's dope.
We're still the same band.
Yeah, so. And the fucking just like the chemistry, that shit kind of shows though, man.
Yeah, I mean, we did it. I mean, we were playing like, dude, we used to do Battle of the Bands and all that shit. I mean, we would never win or even get into it all.
Because I seen you said you was the drummer first.
Yeah, I was a drummer and singer. It was just one of those little kid things where it's like, who wants to sing? Like, I was the only one who was down, you know what I mean? And then now everybody wants to fucking sing. But I'm keeping that shit, you know?
Do you think you being a drummer first that, like, or just having that knowledge of playing drums, it definitely helps with your songwriting and shit?
That's all I know. I'm not, like, technical in terms of songwriting, really. I'm just, like, a rhythm guy. Like, yeah. I'm super into rhythms and vocal, like, the patterns. Like, I can see all that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, that's how we work it out. It's, like, rhythm first, you know? We're not, like, riffs first, necessarily. Like,
oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, like, check out this riff. We're, like, trying to put the... the underlayer, the soundscape, yeah, the rhythm. So
no, because even some of those drums, it was almost remind me like some like hip hop breaks and shit.
I mean, I learned how to play drums from Gospel Kids. So,
oh shit! Yeah, that's top notch shit right there.
Dude, them they're the fucking best. Literally, I used to watch as a little, as like I'd be a teenager and I would watch these kids and I'd be like, he's the greatest drummer of all time to be some other like 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like, how could I ever like live up to this? He's playing like with his foot and he's doing his hand on the bass drum and like the back of his foot and shit. The kids are insane.
Church drummers are. They fuck those cymbals up, man. I swear
fucking
to God.
No, bro. Yeah.
All right, all right. We got a would you rather.
Would you rather?
Hi, Danny. Would you rather spend the rest of your life with little baby teeth or a soft baby head? TD from NYC. That's a fucked up one, man. How do you think of shit like this, TD? Like, what you got going on? Like, do you need some help? You need someone to talk to? Because I don't see any, you winning with any of those situations.
The head, bro. We need the baby head.
The baby head, though, but I'm not drinking anymore, but I would just imagine my drunk ass, like, falling and fucking hitting my head somewhere, and it's over. Or they say when babies fall, you get a permanent dent in your shit. Or
we're not
shit.
Talking like stone cold head. We're talking like soft tissue. Like,
yeah.
All right.
You
got to
be really.
Dude, I'm not walking around with baby
teeth. Or then like they got that neck and they bobblehead. You can't even hold your shit straight. You can't talk to no bitches with either one. Like
the teeth though, dude, you're fucked with the
no,
baby
the,
teeth.
No, the teeth. I mean, I will probably go with the teeth. Because I lived my entire life with fucked up teeth, and I made it out pretty good.
But
you know?
They're not, like, all small. Like, fucked up's kind of cool. Like, you can pull fucked up teeth off for sure, but the tiny little
baby teeth.
Can't eat no corn.
And they just fall out any given time. You're like,
you're eating baby food.
Just kick, oh, yeah. Baby food sucks.
Dude, this kid I knew in high school, his dad ate baby food, and we found all the shit in his pantry.
You sure you ain't find no bodies in the basement too?
I mean, there really might have been. I mean, we buried his ass for it. We had to flame his ass every day for
what
that.
The fuck?
His dad's just fucking slurping green bean casserole every night.
So you going with the baby head?
Yeah, I'll have a baby head. Yeah, like Beetlejuice style. We're talking.
I guess so. And your neck, you can't. So your shit just bobbing everywhere. You can't even.
It's like beat, but
yeah,
beat
you ain't got no strong neck. You can't hold your shit up.
Hezbollah or whatever.
Like motherfuckers got to hold you and shit. Like hold up. Like my homie over here like you. Then got to hold your head up for you to talk to the bitch.
And we got the same size body. We're both tall, slender gentlemen with little baby heads.
Yeah, with a little baby head.
With Beetlejuice head.
I think the teeth, man. I'll fuck it. I'll eat the baby food. The little baby head, man. People gonna be like, you retarded. I'm sorry. Can't use the R word.
We can say what we gotta say, man.
Can't use the
R word.
We're
here. We're here. We can say what we need to say.
It's 20. We can't use the R word. All right.
We're free.
Next up, best looking city. What up, Danny? Fucking love you and Peggy turning up and putting out for the end of the Scaring the Hoes tour in Dallas. You had the best fit on, as always. Thank you, brother. Which city on the tour do you think has the best style with the baddest hoes and niggas dripped out? Appreciate the love. Always, congrats on the sobriety. Daniel, shouts out to another Daniel. Of course, it's fucking New York. I mean, is it not really like, you know, it's just New York, man. They fucking always forward with the fashion shit. And I guess that's where I get a lot of my influence from when it comes to everything, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just one of those cities that I couldn't see myself living there, man.
No, dude, it fucking sucks there. Just, I mean, there's a lot, there's cool shit, but like you want to be just condensed in the fucking the hellhole center, you know, everyone's everywhere.
It's me is my main thing. I'm scared of mice and rats and shit.
Oh, there's rats all over. Yeah,
I know, but it's next level in New York. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Living
yeah,
in a fucking $10,000 a month penthouse and still got rats and roaches and shit.
Dude, it's nice here because it's like a little. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So wait, you're from Detroit, right?
Mm-hmm. Midwest boys. That's right.
Yeah, I feel like Austin seems cool. I mean, I don't know shit, but because it's like big and little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like the big little vibes. You can, if you want it to be big, you go here. If you want it to be little, you go here.
Austin can get fucking dirty too. I will say that.
I was up there at the 6th Street.
Yeah, Dirty Six.
Yeah, I was in there.
I'm scared of the 6th Street now.
I was kind of scared too.
I used to have a good time. I used to go up there to be drunk and shit. I damn near getting myself locked up. But for the most part, I think YouTube and fucking social media, Twitter, and all that shit, because it's always, I guess my algorithm is fucked. I watched one fucking fight on Sixth Street. Now that's all I fucking see. So I think it's like a propaganda to scare me.
Dude, I heard you talk about that before. Isn't it just, dude, I literally, because I heard you talk about that, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my girl just wandered somewhere and I was just like, I saw Sixth Street. And I was like, oh, fuck.
I mean, during the week, and I feel like during the week, it's kind of scarier too. Because when it's like empty and shit, it's just like fucking homeless motherfuckers everywhere and
shit.
They
were on me for sure. The homeless were, they were on us. But yeah. I feel if you're nice to them 9 times out of 10, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like one of these fuck you homeless guys. We went to that comedy shit yesterday, the mother shit
place.
Yeah,
dope.
And there was just like a homeless guy in line trying to get to everybody. Somebody in front of me like had enough. They were just like, wrong fucking line, buddy.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's like, are you gonna piss him off? Like, let him just do his thing, man. Let him be free and ask everybody. We say yes or no and we move on.
No, they get aggressive here. I will say that. I've had my fair share of homeless motherfuckers pressing me. But like you say, you just got to be respectful. Because, you know, they going through some shit, man. Like,
dude,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, we're blessed. We're blessed when 100%. It comes to them. So you just got to, you know, feel sorry for them in some sense.
I do. I just feel bad. It's like, and also it's like, dude, if when they're, as long as a homeless person, when they're not, they're cool to you, if you say yay or nay, once you say no and they start fucking dissing you and shit, then shit gets a little bit dark, but... Past that, you know, it is what it is.
Last time I was on Sixth Street, I wasn't even out there like 5 minutes, and I just seen two homeless motherfuckers just throwing down. He was fighting like a motherfucker. One of them, his ass fell out, his pants was too big and shit. I'm like, God damn, I ain't even been here 10 minutes.
That's kind of hard.
But I think it's me, man. I don't know. I think it's following me, man. So I'm going to just.
It's not following you.
Yeah, man. Like every time I'm out there, I'm seeing crazy shit. But all right. Next up, we got the gym is smelling real bad. Dear Danny, all gyms smell bad. What? My name is Giacomo. That's a crazy name, brother, from Kansas City. So I go to this gym and this one nigga smells so bad like Indian food wrapped in a diaper full of rotten teeth. Always run away from this nigga because I could smell him coming from a mile away. Giacomo, I hope you black with all these niggas because that don't sound like a nigga name. But should I tell him? How do I pull them to the side and give them some hygiene tips? Let them know what would you do in this situation. I mean, motherfuckers stink at the gym. That's just a gym thing, man. I mean, you can't really. I mean, motherfuckers stink at the gym, bro. What do you think? You about to go to a Bed Bath and Beyond or some shit? I mean,
they're putting it in, man. You gotta sweat, man.
Yeah,
we're putting
man.
It in.
It's just stinky motherfuckers at the gym. I mean, I guess you're saying like this motherfucker. Now, if you show up to the gym already stinking, then that's another situation.
That does happen. I train jiu-jitsu, and when you're in that fucking locker room and they're already stinking and shit, you're just like, fuck.
I guess some motherfuckers feel like, I'm about to go work out anyway. I might as well work out then shower, you know?
Dude,
but
not some grappling shit, bro.
Stay away. But, well, with jiu-jitsu, a motherfucker might not want you to go too hard.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm a little stinky, maybe this motherfucker will back up.
People will avoid your ass if you stink for real.
Yeah, you know, but, yeah, just, I mean... I feel like sometimes it could be mental health issues.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like. People be depressed. They don't be showering and shit. So maybe you're going through some shit. So maybe the best way to approach the situation is ask him, is he okay?
We've all stunk.
Be nice. You know, be nice about it. Don't just walk up on a motherfucker like, nigga, you be stinking. Like, it's the gym. Motherfuckers gonna smell bad. So I think for the best part, the best thing you can possibly do is, you know, just check on him and see if he's all right, if you care that much, you know, because I wouldn't give a fuck. You
Giacomo stinking? Has fucking stank before, for sure. We've all stank.
Giacomo. I would just really just, I'm in a gym, I'm minding my own business, I'm going there, I'm working out, I'm getting the fuck out of there. I ain't trying to smell motherfuckers. I wouldn't care, so, you know, you're caring a little too much. And how close is you getting to where you just know it's Giacomo, you know? So that's just a whole nother thing in itself, but all right. Gonna jump to some white people shit, and we got dog birthday parties.
White people shit.
Hi, Danny. I just recently seen one of my friends throw her dog a birthday party for the dog's first B-Day. It was a full-on party with decorations, a dog-friendly cake, multiple friends and family attended and brought gifts. I merely thought this is some white people shit. I wouldn't see we always go into this with pets. I don't think you caring and loving for your fucking pet is a fucking... white people or black people or anybody thing.
It's got racist vibes, bro.
Yeah, it's just animal lovers, man. Like, yeah. I don't think my dog would be that entertained with me fucking blowing balloons and fucking putting her on a birthday hat and all that kind of shit. My dog, so I just really go with, would my dog like this? And I don't think my dog would want to be at a fucking party.
It is mentally ill to like give your dog a party for sure. Like it's you're fucked in the mind.
Are you a pet guy? You got any pets?
I got a tortoise.
A tortoise?
Yeah, it's like 40 years old.
Is that considered to be a pet at this point?
Oh, it's a pet for sure.
How long have you had it?
I've only had it for a couple years, but my girl used to work at this place that had like all the animals, you know, and so she rescued that shit. So it's like, it's a Russian tortoise. You know, you put it, if you put it here, it'll just walk around and put it up here. And
it's not really like that hard to take care of.
That's kind of white people shit, I would say, is to have a tortoise.
I lived in a neighborhood, man, where it was just like a turtle situation where it was always just turtles around.
That sounds like my dream paradise, man. I'm about to move into the neighborhood.
No, it's fucked up. One time I seen a turtle get ran over. Well, I'm not trying to scare you about the turtle, but.
Literally, when you just fucking said that, bro. When you just said that, bro, I'm literally like, I'm about to pick up, leave this shit, and go home and make sure that she's good.
Seeing that shit, it was like, I never seen, I mean, it was fucked up. Like, oh, man.
Dude, some people, like, eat them and shit. Like, it's not right, man.
Eating turtles? Yeah. I mean, I've definitely ate my fair share of animals that probably shouldn't be eaten, but.
Dude, once you hang out with one, though, I think you'll see what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to eat them. Also, turtles, dude. There's a lot of turtles. There's nasty ass turtles, tortoises, Russian tortoise. That's a nice.
What's the difference
animal.
Between a Russian tortoise and the
Russian tortoise? Like, isn't in the water. It's like just literally, it lives in like substrate, and you just feed it. It only eats lettuce or just like green stuff or flowers, and it literally lives forever. It'll live longer than me.
So it's big as hell?
No, it's not. It's only this big.
That's a crazy question. It's big as hell?
No, listen, there are big ass ones.
Yeah, I see some big ass turtles.
And I'm ready once I get some money in my pocket down the road.
To get a big ass turtle?
I mean, I need to get my fucking bread up, but yeah, I'll have a big whole turtle crib where all the turtles are at. I would love that. The big one will run shit, you know?
I mean, I just don't understand what's that relationship dynamic. Like, you know,
put it on your fucking shoulder.
Like, the look on their faces, too. Be like, nigga, I don't fuck this nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I mean, I feel that vibe often. Yeah, it definitely doesn't give a fuck about me.
Fuck this shit.
But then it's one of those things. It's like, you ever have a buddy who's like not the most open person? You know, they're kind of closed off. When people come in, they're not just the first friend to all motherfucker, because we hate a friend to all. You know what I mean? It's sickening when you have the friend to all friend. That's like a tortoise. After a while, it comes up to the glass, and now it wants to play and chill with you.
For
real? Then you're like, I'm the one. You know what
Damn,
I mean?
Damn, man. You got a relationship with a turtle.
Oh, I love it. His name is Shelly.
Shelly. That's dope. That's dope.
Did you I see would the die
new,
for it.
Did you see the new Ninja Turtles?
No, I didn't see the Ninja Turtles, but I'm considering it. I mean, I almost find it borderline disrespectful because Shelly wouldn't hurt a fly.
Everybody keeps saying it's good. I'm going to have to go check it out, man. But yeah, so I'll talk about some. You play video games?
A little bit. I know about them.
I'm
you know
pissed
all my
off, man.
Game,
I fucking
guys.
I bought Starfield, and it was fucking supposed to. I mean, I didn't get the fucking the pre-order version where I get it early and shit. Motherfuckers already finished and played it, and it's supposed to come out today. I figured that I would be able to play it last night after midnight and shit, but the motherfucker still ain't ready for download. So fuck y'all.
You're a gamer for real, bro. Like you love it?
Yeah, I definitely do.
That's killer.
I mean, I will say, like, you know, after. You know, getting out of rehab and shit and not smoking weed anymore, it was definitely like a hard thing to get back into.
How long have you been not smoking and stuff for?
I think it's over 90 days with no cigarettes.
Let's go, bro.
But it's like over 150 something days with no alcohol and no drugs and shit.
Dude, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. I never really drank or any of that shit because I was always scared of it because I had like, you know, you have family people and you see them go down that road and...
Lucky you.
I never did. Never touched it, man. I've never drank alcohol or smoked weed or whatever.
That's great, man.
It's not that. I'm not sitting here on my fucking high horse.
No,
I'm just
you
saying.
Should be, man. Because like you say, man, you've seen the family members go down that same road. I've definitely seen my family members go down that same road. And I still fucking touch the stove. Like,
dude,
hold up. It ain't that
bro.
High. Let me see. I still was that curious, dumb motherfucker, man. So, yeah, man. It takes a lot, man. I had a few friends that never fucked around with shit, and it was always that kind of same shit where they was just, I feel like it's just some people are more strong-minded than others, you know?
Dude, if I did it, I know for a fact I would be fucked up all the time, like, because I'm one of these, like, people who, anything I do that I get into, I'm getting into it, you know what I mean? I'm gonna be doing it all the time. I can't just be, like, normal, you know what I mean? So, to me, I can't do it. If I did it, I would be on the street or doing something
bad. Oh, shit.
I'd be doing something bad. But, dude, how are you feeling, like, sober? Can you have fun still and stuff like that? Or how does it feel?
I would say it's been challenging in that aspect. Because, I mean, everything I was doing revolved around drinking or doing drugs and shit. So.
Playing shows?
Yeah. So even like going on the road, that was, you know, it was easier than I expected because I started to have fun again.
At the shows, because you could feel like the crowd.
Yeah, and it was almost like therapeutic in that sense of being able to be on stage and really seeing people that fucking vibe with the music and shit, and it made me feel good in that sense, you know. But it was the hardest part was coming off stage, and you got that fucking adrenaline rush, and it's like, now what,
dude? It's a bad feeling, especially like, you know, a lot of my guys and myself like are beat up physically too, mm-hmm. like with the injuries and shit. So. It's rough, like, getting off. Like, my keyboardist who, like, smokes, he's smoking before, he's smoking after, he'd be smoking during if it was that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his body feels a lot better, so that part's hard. But, I mean, dude, I feel like if you were doing what you were doing, which is fucking awesome, performing all fucked up,
mm-hmm.
now you're going to be, like, God-tier performer.
No, everybody, I've seen a lot of people say that I sounded, of course, I probably did because I wasn't fucking... blacked out drunk and shit, but everybody said I sounded better. It was just like you say, it was peak, like, you know. But I'm starting back to have fun again with making music and just enjoying it again, you know. So that's a good thing that's coming back, because for so long it just you know, felt like work, where I would feel like, you know, I get fucked up to do it because I feel like it sparks my creativity in some sense. But that was an excuse. And then before I know it, as the years progress and as time, you know, nature took its course with doing that kind of shit, I'd be like, fuck, I don't feel like doing this shit. I'd rather just get fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's like I've been back, just been fucking around, making beats and shit. And now, even last night, I was up to damn near 6 this morning fucking making beats and shit. I haven't done anything like that in over fucking 5 years.
Are you working on an album for real?
I have an album done. It's coming out pretty soon. But just... keeping myself busy, because now it's like, fuck. I look at my day now and it's like, what the fuck did I used to do? Like, I have so much time in the day now. So now it's like, fuck. I just been my job turned back into my hobby.
And but you got this too. I mean, it's pretty cool that you have, like, because I feel that feeling a lot. Like, mm-hmm. when I come to the end of like a creative thing, I feel like panic of like, I don't want to be like a pathetic individual who has nothing to do.
Yeah.
So like, I gotta figure out the next thing to do like that day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I feel like it's tight that you can, like, how do you view this? Like, do you view this?
No, this is
creative?
Fun for me.
Yeah.
Like, so to be honest, just to be able to sit down and talk to motherfuckers and shit and talk about what I'm going through and just have that fucking just have that microphone to be able to be vocal about shit and let people know how I feel about shit. So to me, this is just fun to have this outlet.
Dude, I feel like, you know, so many more people are going to check out your record now, too, because people know your personality and shit now, which they didn't know before.
Which I almost like taking the mask off in some sense now. Oh, it's like, you know, because, you know, rappers, we want to feel like we're fucking some type of superhero badass. And you're like, oh, you know, have this mystique about you. But now I feel like, yeah, motherfuckers probably know a little bit too much about me now.
Dude, but on the flip side, I truly feel, and I'm not trying to fucking suck you off here, I truly feel that it's taking you out of the pack. So it's like, yeah, on one end, maybe you lose the mystique, which I fight with that too a lot. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our band has at times struggled with popularity because we have not been willing to do certain things that like put ourselves out there in like a more, yeah, this is what we're up to way, because I fucking hate that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, in like a social media way, like it's cool with a platform, but I feel like now people are just going to view it differently, which is like for better and worse, but more people are going to see it, dude. Like,
yeah,
they're going to hear it. So
I definitely feel like it helped me in my journey with sobriety though. It's definitely helping me with that because it's almost like people watched it in real time. So it's almost like, you know, it's one thing to like fuck up and
can't fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking up in front of the world. I got them as my fucking, you know, that's my fucking, that the world is my sponsor.
Do you feel like you had like ride or die fans before this as much, or do you feel
definitely,
like you have more now?
Definitely. I mean, I get a lot of more people that hit me up and be like, them seeing what I went through and the way I'm going about it is making them take a step back and look at their life and want to get their shit together. And that makes me feel a lot better. So, like, I always tell people, man, you going through some shit dealing with, you know, substance abuse or anything, you know, alcohol and all that kind of shit. Like, I've definitely talked back when it comes to that because I feel like now I'm put here to help. Maybe that's been my whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, because all my albums been pretty much based around, it been the underlying tone of all the albums was about me and my fucking drugs and you know, pretty much damn near like a cry for help. So now they're seeing it in real time. Like, you know, now I'm able to help people and show them, you know, like I went through that shit, you know, so it's easy. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying like it's easy for me to make that transition to want to help people now instead of just be that motherfucker that wants you to get, you listen to his shit and get fucked up to it.
Did you, know? Write about it on the new disc?
Oh, definitely. That was because that was, I wrote that during quarantine and that was, I was really, that was the,
me too.
That was the, that was the bottom of the barrel. That was, that was rock bottom right there. So it's definitely a trauma dump, but it's the last one because I feel like now where I want to take my music is, you know, a lot of people like, which is weird for me, where I made these albums that was, like I say, was trauma dumps, and people was like, man, you talking about your shit and all the problems you was going through, help me with my shit. And, you know, so now it's like, I want to make music not to bum people out.
That's hard, I know. We on this record we just did, there's more of like a optimistic point of view to it that it kind of gets to. Like, and we, I was hoping to like be able to display that via like the type of music, so like at the end of our record it gets almost kind of like alternative poppy rocky a little bit.
The end of it is amazing, like the last, the title track is, that's, I would say is my second favorite to next to Drones.
Well, thank you, man. That's
just the way it ended is crazy, from the way it start to the way it ended, sequence crazy. Like, it's, well, you guys will be able to hear it.
Thanks, man.
Coming out soon, you know. The Above coming out, what is it, man, we still don't know,
dude. We think it's September 29th or 28th. One, I've of the seen shits. It. I mean,
it's,
I don't,
it's,
know.
It's one of those.
It's 29th or 28th.
All right, man. We get up out of here, man. We want to spin the wheel one time. Let's just see.
I want to do all the gimmicks. Hit the wheel, man. Don't leave me out, for real.
Barbenheimer. What's this?
It's Barbie plus Oppenheimer.
Oh, I ain't see none of them motherfuckers, man. I just did. I mean,
spin the shit again. Go again. Go again. We need to hear a good, some good shit.
Give my dog Jamie a second try. All right.
Yeah, let's go. What the fuck is that? Is that the?
How do you say that?
That's the weight thing?
Yeah. Ozempic. People are taking it to lose weight.
Ozempic. Oh, that, do they have one of those cool commercials where they got a nice catchy boppy pop song, and then at the end of the commercial they were like, also it leads to cancer, shitting out your ass,
parasitic infection in your fucking, wait, who takes
you'll
it?
Cry blood.
Who takes it, guys? Who takes Ozempic?
Tons of people are taking it right now. It's super popular.
Oh, is Ozempic the commercial with the fat white girl and she dancing around and shit?
Oh, I don't know.
I might be tripping.
I haven't seen any commercials for it, but a lot of people are taking it currently.
So it's a weight. It helps you lose weight. Oh, it's an injection for type 2 diabetes. Which one is it?
Are we helping the diabetes, or are we getting thin?
So Ozempic is a weight loss situation.
Oh, fuck, we can't read this shit, man.
I don't know. Anything with a name like, sound like a nuclear bomb.
Once it says says the molecules, bro, I'm fucking
something's
out.
Something's
right
not
away.
Probably healthy for you to take, but I don't know, man. I guess if it's working for people, man, like you know, we're fairly slim dudes.
We're slim. We tall.
We don't really need
we're
that shit.
We're not taking like, it. We never would.
We're not fucking with Ozempic, but I would like to know, what are the side effects?
You're gonna be fucked up. You're gonna die early, 100%.
Depression. That shit came up off rip.
We don't need any more of that.
Okay, you got nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, and constipation. Often includes allergic reaction, changes in vision, pancreatitis. Ozempic has an FDA box warning for the risk of thyroid C-cell tumors.
What does that mean?
I mean, if you're that fat where you want to risk all that, go for it. Whatever you're going to do to make you feel.
I mean, if you're walking around really big, I'm not going to hate on you for doing what you need to do.
I just, you know, I'm going to look at you crazy. Like, I did a shit ton of drugs, so I can't be mad at a motherfucker taking Ozempic. But if you're losing weight and you're getting vomited and diarrhea, you know.
Is it more ladies taking it, or what's, or we're all taking it?
Everyone is, and I think a lot of celebrities are even taking it too. You know, it's like
they all shitting on themselves.
We should do a gimmick. We take it.
But
we
how
see
do
what
hold
happens.
Up? How do you have diarrhea and constipation? That sounds like death.
I've been there.
All right. We get about this motherfucker. Thank you, Jamie, stopping through, man. The new album is fucking dope. Everybody check it out. Coming September 28th, 29th.
It's coming around the fucking corner. Go check that shit out.
The Above, the single's out with fucking Billy Corgan. Check that shit out, man. It's fucking dope. Thank you so much for coming through, man. It's great talking to you, man.
Appreciate it.
What about this motherfucker? Peace. Love y'all, motherfuckers.